שלום לכולם, אנחנו בתוכנית של עולמות נפגשים. שלום לך, הרב דוקטור מיכאל.
We are here in a lesson of Worlds are Meeting. We are searching for pleasure and wholeness, and we're going through unity. It's not this temporary success. Every explanation starts by us being in Ein Sof. And you gave a lesson a few minutes ago. It always starts by us being in Ein Sof. So there's probably such a big promise, Rav. Yeah, but we have to open our vessels and feel it. Instead of Ein Sof, where you feel the worst state, the lowest, most distant state from it. Bensi, so what's in that Ein Sof that's worthwhile for us to know about? Rav. That's the difference between Ein Sof to our state, is that we are in the will to receive, and Ein Sof is the will to bestow. Very simple. For that reason, if we want to feel Ein Sof, we have to advance to the quality of bestowal and love and connection, the identification with the other, getting closer to the others. That is called the quality of bestowal, of connection of Ein Sof. Bensi, Ein Sof is our united state. Brav, yes. Bensi, why did I choose to start from there? Rav, that is the goal. We were there in the beginning of creation. We have escalated down from there even before we felt ourselves. And we discover ourselves now in the lowest state called this world. Bensi, all the rules that we live by, they actually come from the state of Ein Sof. Rav, yes, obviously. Bensi, I have not changed the vaya, meaning the laws keep working on us. So, in our reality, we think that everything just started now. I'm selling an apartment, I'm getting on a bus. It's all starting the moment it starts. That's my reality. But actually, if I understand correctly, all of reality, all of its laws, already start working from Ein Sof, from that corrected state. There are no other laws.
Yes.
I spoke to this physicist. He said that really everything started in the Big Bang and every process started back then. He said it all happened in the first fraction of a sentence, even less of the process happened in the next 3 seconds, and even less in the next few million years. According to cosmology, there's no occurrences happening now.
Yeah, it's even the opposite. Everything is stopping, and maybe we're even starting to move backwards.
If it's like that, so our life, that's what we have to look for that connection that you keep saying, search for the connection, search for the connection.
First of all, I don't really want to relate to what this cosmologist says, because he's talking about time, and time didn't exist then. The first fraction of the second, the first 3 minutes, there were no minutes then. Time is a result of what we already see, the way we exist, our perception. It's completely subjective. That's why talking about time, and also if we go into it, we don't want to go into it, but just one word. Is this process really happening or not? With regards to who is it happening or not? It's a serious question. Cosmology is going through an internal revolution. The problem is they have trouble to see the universe outside of the universe. Only then could they say something about it. But when you're in a system, you can't talk objectively with respect to it. That's why cosmologists are trying out of what they can research, but just to summarize, but that's not science. Yes.
So if so, we actually came out of that state of Ein Sof.
Yes.
And as time progresses, we're going farther away from that connection. we're like escalating or falling down from this high mountain. On the other hand, we hear this call, connect and connect, like as if somebody's telling me to ascend. How can that be? That I'll go against that falling down. How can I go against gravity and connect since we already were going away from that state of Ein Sof, from that state of connection?
You're correct. When we were connected, in the beginning of development as one point, as one desire, one intention. And suddenly, each and everyone started, starting with a big bang. Here we had one point. In this one single point, the Kli and the light were together. Kli and light, they were together. And later on it started dividing, bursting out like a chain reaction of an atomic explosion. So later development went in all these directions. What do we see here? That we have many desires here. Many desires, and these desires are distant from one another. And as much as they distance themselves, as much as they grow further away, it turns out that the distance from the original place, the distance also influences the distance between them. This is delta 1, this is delta 2. That's clear to us. So, the further away they're from the original place, they're further from themselves, from each other. What does that mean? There's an egoistic force that goes into the connection. Here, everything was one. Everything was one. And to this one, a great ego was added. The force of the ego was added to it, and it started working over the one and breaking it. And then this ego started working here. This arrow is indicating the expansion. So by what was this explosion and expansion and was made? By the ego working over this one point. In this point, there was one desire. One, the Kli and the O, the Kli and light, the vessel and the light. One desire. Later on, the ego, as it entered, it exploded this ego, this one, into many different parts that started to scatter. And these parts were in the degrees of the still, vegetative, animate, and speaking. This is also the matter of the ego. The increased, enlarged ego. The enlarged ego. That's it. Until it reaches the speaking level, and in the speaking level, we're talking about the human development, humanity, because as humanity develops, it reaches a state that it must come to the correction, because it reaches a point that the ego controls to such an extent that it's killing it, it's ruining it, reaching a terminal state. Then humanity will have to make the calculation in the end that it will also want to be as one. And then humanity returns to be as one as it was in the beginning. But this point will be times the ego, multiplied by the ego. It will connect above the ego and above this ego. If you multiply this point by the ego, it's 620 times. Yes.
So you just strengthened the fact and the explanation that we're not driven towards unity, but there is this force that is pushing us away from connection in every moment.
Yes.
So that's how we feel every moment in life. So what is the meaning of that calling to connect?
This calling to connect ego, above the ego. That we here want to reach a state of connection above the ego. So that our ego too will work in order to bestow.
So where's that breakthrough that we can't stop this force of the ego that's pulling us to every direction? Where's that breakthrough that we can like turn the picture around and discover that we can?
We turn it around. We turn around this picture in a very special way. What is the difference between what we used to have here? Here, in this present state, till we reach the final state. What's the difference between these two states? In the beginning, we had a lot of light. It was filled with light. And here, there is no light. Here in the beginning we had one desire, and here in the final state we have, instead of the desire, we have a great ego that has developed from the desire. The fact that there is no light, this is what compels us, it forces us to connect again. This is what pushes us to connection, because we can't revive ourselves. The light is the force of life. Therefore, the fact that we have no light makes me start feeling that I want to return. I want to return to a state in which I'm living. So I have a certain tendency towards connection, out of lack of choice. Do you understand? There is no light, and I have a prayer for correction, out of no choice. This is called Beito, in due time, and it may also be in Achishena, in I would hasten it. By me learning it from the Kabbalah books, I can reach it faster from the state of no light at all. Yes?
Well, what is revealed to our eyes, let's call it like a direct fact or evidence. We can't see this tendency towards connection. On the contrary, we see that all evidence goes in the opposite direction, that we're not going towards connection.
This is something, in the meantime, we're advancing by the force of the ego that increases between us, yes? We see that we're still, as we can reach a state, well, we can say that, we can see here that in the meantime, we're growing further away compared to what we used to have. Understand? radius becomes greater.
So what change if I want to reach connection? I don't know, from faith, that it maybe it's interesting for me. What change in my approach should happen in order to search for this connection, even though all my vessels aren't taking me there?
You should organize yourself in a way that it will be clear to you that you must have this connection.
You
reach a state that you have no choice.
I want to quote you from a lesson we had lately. Whoever wants to reach spirituality needs to know that if he goes deeper and is honest with himself, he will have no proof why it's worthwhile. Because the human brain or any wise man can go above ego and so on. I have no way to prove to myself, to explain to myself, and you're even strengthening that.
No, but you have an inner impulse, meaning there's a point in you, a small desire among all the other desires, but it's very special, and that's why none of the other desires can calm it down. And this point in your desire says that you have to rise above all the other desires. You can live in them, you can realize them to some extent, but there's a special desire that you have to realize, and it's above all the other desires, and it's not connected with them, it's not in this world. It pulls you to something else, to the purpose of creation. It's pulling you towards understanding, why are you alive? What's the meaning of this life? What's the point? And when you feel that you have such a desire, you can't face it. You're perplexed. You can't answer why you are alive. It humiliates you until it takes away your humanity. If I don't know why I'm alive, I'm like a beast, even worse off. A beast doesn't ask why is it alive. It's not depressed. It's not feeling despair. It just lives. It is disconnected from this question, from any form of advancement. No, we want to advance. We want to run ahead in our lives. What for? In order to die? We're going to die either way. What are we trying to achieve? Why do I need all those things and more and more and more? Why do I develop this life? Let's stop for a second and see what's happening.
There's a system. It's going on. It's running.
I want to think. Why do I have to run with everyone? I want to think. So I'm not running with everyone. Let everyone run. I see that perhaps, let's say I'm lazy. Simply, I don't want to run. For me, every effort is a huge effort. I don't want to just be in a race with everyone. I look at them running, let them run. Not me. I prefer to think, where am I running to? What for? What is it going to give me? It's written, a wise person has his eyes in his head. I want to see if it's worthwhile for me or not. I see that everyone dies eventually. So the biggest problem here is the death. That if life happens between birth and death, then here's the question, a rational question. Is it worthwhile to run your entire life in order to not think of death, to maybe confuse yourself? Or maybe it's worthwhile to fill those inner urges, to provide everything to the kids, to the family, to the country.
Is this what happens?
Well, then we live like animals. No difference between us and them, because they will also live in this way. And my kids will also live this way, and my grandkids. So what's the benefit here? So we just live in order to live, how to exist to a minimum suffering. I don't want it. Look, if I were different, I see that people, other people don't think like that. I see that I think. Why do I think about this? That's how I'm made. I was made in such a way that I think that first I have to know the purpose of my life. That's it. And really, I don't know why, what's the purpose of my life? Is it worthwhile? No. This question is always before me. This until you attain the end of correction. Until you attain the root of my soul, the root of my being. Until that moment, I will not be satisfied from what's happening to me. Only when I return to the root. Because in this root, I will learn where did I come from, what for, what is my purpose, my destiny, where did I come from. That in this root, I begin to attain also my source. That is something that precedes me. That's what I want to attain. Then I can say that it's worthwhile to live if we have such opportunity. But if not, what are we doing here? That there's this tiny body in this huge infinite universe where this protein life exists in this special way. So what? And that's how we exist, and that's why we confuse ourselves with politics and competitions and all those things. Look at our planet from afar. Look at what's happening. Why? What for? Let's come out of it. It's like a child in the kindergarten. Mother comes to take him from the kindergarten. He cries, he screams, he wants to hit someone. Mommy says, wait, what for? Let's go home. There's other things. He says, no, it's his entire life. We're the same.
Exactly. We don't see where to exit to.
That's why there's a method that helps you to come out. To come out. And then you will not be like the rest of the kids in this horrible kindergarten.
About this method of the wisdom of Kabbalah. That cosmologue I was speaking to, when he spoke about the Big Bang, he said that the evidence about it are, it's not like a direct...
We can't see that. It exists in the universe, but we can't see it. Because time, space, and motion disappears there. It happens in an immaterial way. That's why we can't see it, can observe it. We can see what took place 5 billion years ago, 10 billion years ago. That's also a question. How can I observe something that took place 5 billion years ago? Well, we can do it. Because it's not a matter of years. Time doesn't exist here, only motion. But when we come close to the concept of the Big Bang, we can't, hard for us to discern things because our regular laws don't work there.
That's why he's calling this evidence as time-based, that he's trying to take pieces of the puzzle and put them together. And in the wisdom of Kabbalah, is it a direct evidence?
We rise above matter, above the desire to receive. Look at this cosmologist, his instruments, he himself, what he investigates, all those things, what I'm investigating, myself, the object of my research, and the instrument that connects us. It's all corporeal. It's all egoistic. That's why, on the one hand, I can investigate it, I can examine it, I can show everyone that we're all in the same method, the same egoistic material, that's why everyone can see it. But I can only see what exists in the corporeal range. the egoistic range where the forces of the matter work. But above matter, where those forces work, like in the Big Bang, where the light works, this energy that's above the matter, that precedes matter, there they cannot do anything. They don't know. They don't understand. They also don't understand what was the cause of the Big Bang. What happened that caused it? Where is this point coming from that something suddenly exploded and started? They go back, they approximate according to what happens today. They go back a million years ago, a billion years ago, 15 billion years ago, suddenly, oh, the beginning. What is the beginning? We don't know. But it's clear that from that point on, there was a big bang. But what exploded? What was the cause for the explosion? What happened before the explosion? Who initiated this explosion? Nothing is known. From this point, a little bit after the Big Bang, we see the process, and that's what we can research.
So this state of Ein Sof, that we discover it, or that connection,
Ein Sof doesn't belong to the state of a Big Bang or not Big Bang.
No, but the evidence for it, is it like a direct evidence?
You discover it in the vessels, in the kelim that you build inside of you. And those kelim, those vessels exist only in you, or in other Kabbalists that also discover such phenomena like you, and that's what they wrote about in their books.
So in the books of Kabbalah, it's not circumstantial evidence, it's direct evidence.
Yes.
So if it's like that, if it's a direct piece of evidence, so the wisdom of Kabbalah that usually teaches us to research according to our feeling. And we have this tendency that when we speak about science, it like takes a person outside of science and he wants to get all these results, a phenomena of the still vegetative animate, as if it's outside of the person. He's just doing everything not towards the person, them.
No, it's incorrect. I'm sorry to hear it like this. What do you mean? Science cannot detach from man. Science determines everything from within man.
But this is out of the wisdom of Kabbalah, you're saying it.
I'm not saying it from the perspective of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Who's investigating, a man or not?
Obviously man.
If instead of a man, it will be some alien from somewhere, he will investigate it with his own attributes.
Right.
He will construct his own instruments, and according to his attributes, he will discover new matter. Except we were never able to exit man to some objective form outside of a man, and that's why it appears to us that we investigate everything objectively, but it's completely subjective based on how a man is constructed.
So what would be your advice that in science, in our world, there is no awareness that everything we're researching, we're actually limiting it to our qualities? That's why we see a descent and distance. And
of course, it's all with respect to us.
But when we even start studying the wisdom of Kabbalah, we're still limited in our qualities. So what advice can you give us that we won't feel this limitation of our qualities? And as we say, just keep going with all the flows in life, but we will go towards the connection, even though it's not in our vessels.
Only to teach a person how to rise above what he is. How to rise. And to rise above doesn't mean to exit the body. I mean, you can say it kind of poetically, to rise above the body, but it's to rise above his desire. As much as we're able to rise above the desire, we discover a different world. We can say it this way. We are here. And we can reach the upper degree. The difference is the extent to which I rise above my ego. So as much as I rise above it, I grasp reality in a completely different way. Here I grasp it only inside my ego. And here it's above the ego. And here it's like 50-50.
Lessons. Why is it worthwhile to get into this emotional, heart-filled research, and that's what's going to open reality, then being more in this, I don't know, the scientific, intellectual...
Science says that we don't operate from our emotion, only from our mind, but it's incorrect, because I also work according to the emotion, but if we don't consider man's attributes, then seemingly we work from inside our mind. But Kabbalah says no, we have to take into account our emotions, and the emotions determine, not the mind.
So, we have came to the conclusion of the show. I hope we thank you, Rav Lightman, and dear friends. See you in our next show.